In this episode, an evangelical pastor's Christmas letter.
It has been a difficult year for me. I feel like I have lost my tribe, white evangelicalism. We are quickly losing a generation for Christ as we put the United States first, before Jesus.
Recently, I received a Christmas letter from Pastor Steve Reed. He has been a friend, a mentor, and a supporter of this podcast for many years. With permission, I will read to you the parts that moved me and I hope will move you. His Christmas letter opens.
It is hard to believe that it is Christmas 2023.
After reviewing the many ways his family was blessed by God in 2023, he then laments.
On a more somber note, it has been a difficult year for me. I feel like I have lost my tribe, white evangelicalism. I became a Christian when I was 22, and for most of my life, I have been part of that tribe. I graduated from a conservative Baptist seminary and worked with a conservative Baptist organization for most of my career. Most of my friends were part of this tribe. But my tribe has changed, and I lament over the changes. These changes do not include everyone, but unfortunately far too many of us.
Then Steve enumerates and laments some of the ways white evangelicals have acted that are not consistent with Jesus' gospel message. I have chosen three of Steve's lamentations to share. Each is a single sentence. I will comment on two at the end. The tribe that Steve is referring to is the tribe of conservative white evangelicals, a tribe that Steve, like me, once considered our home. These are the words of Pastor Steve Reed, read by Maestra. Pastor Steve's first lament.
The tribe builds walls to keep people out, but Jesus invited the poor, the oppressed, and the disenfranchised to the banquet.
The tribe builds walls to keep people out, but Jesus invited the poor, the oppressed, and the disenfranchised to the banquet.
Here is the second lament.
The tribe does not want to suffer or sacrifice, but the tribe causes the suffering of thousands as they flee their countries, and we send them back to dangerous places.
The tribe does not want to suffer or sacrifice, but the tribe causes the suffering of thousands as they flee their countries, and we send them back to dangerous places. And Steve's third lament.
The tribe says that they love the world, but then proclaims America as chosen by God and God's favorite.
The tribe proclaims America chosen by God and God's favorite. Pastor Steve continues.
I lament that my tribe has put America first. Once, we sent missionaries around the world and praised them for their sacrificial work. Now, when the people of the world come to us for help, we do not want to love them. We want to get rid of them. When I became a Christian, we sang, "They will know we are Christians by our love." Sadly, we can no longer sing this. According to the Barna Research Group, almost 80% of millennials and younger Americans see the church as irrelevant, boring, judgmental, and homophobic. That was not the tribe I joined. And I lament over this reality. We are quickly losing a generation for Christ as we put the United States first, before Jesus. I think if my tribe is honest, it is America over God and Jesus. That is certainly the way the world perceives my tribe.
And Pastor Steve closes his Christmas letter with these words.
I pray this Christmas we become a tribe that is known for our love of all people and our willingness to sacrifice so others can live.
I pray we become a tribe that is known for our love of all people and our willingness to sacrifice so others can live. Amen to that. I also think that generations of young Americans have lost their Christian faith because of conservative and evangelical churches teaching America first, teaching Christian nationalism, and teaching a sexual ethic that condemns or excludes most under 35. It is tragic, and I cover this topic in more detail in episode 11 of this series, How Churches Are Failing Young Christians, Why Millions Are Leaving the Church. Pastor Steve's Christmas letter brings this scripture to mind from Lamentations, the 25th book of the Old Testament, written by the prophet Jeremiah.
My eyes fail from weeping. I am in torment within. My heart is poured out on the ground, because my people are destroyed. The Book of Lamentations, chapter 2, verse 11.
I would like to comment on two of Pastor Steve's laments. Let me first comment on his lament about walls.
The tribe builds walls to keep people out, but Jesus invited the poor, the oppressed, and the disenfranchised to the banquet.
This, of course, echoes the parable of the great feast in Luke's gospel, which says, in part,
when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Luke chapter 14, verses 13 and 14.
The first half of this lament, the bit about walls.
The tribe builds walls to keep people out.
This lament about walls brings to mind a lesser-known biblical scripture from Lamentations 2:8, which says, in part,
the Lord determined to destroy the wall of daughter Zion. He did not restrain himself from destroying. He made the ramparts and walls grieve, together they waste away.
The Lord was determined to destroy the wall. He did not restrain himself. He made the ramparts and the walls grieve. They wasted away. Poignant scripture. God does not look favorably on walls designed to keep the poor and the disenfranchised out. The second of Pastor Steve's lamentations that I would like to comment on is related.
The tribe does not want to suffer or sacrifice, but the tribe causes the suffering of thousands as they flee their countries, and we send them back to dangerous places.
This is an obvious reference to the thousands arriving at America's southern borders. There is strong scriptural basis for Pastor Steve's lament.
The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God.
That was from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. Verse 34. This is a direct reference to the years that the Jewish people spent in Egypt, but it also foreshadows the years when Mary, Joseph, and Jesus fled to Egypt, fearing violence at home. Mary, Joseph, and Jesus were undocumented refugees fleeing from danger in their home country. A strikingly similar situation to those fleeing violence and arriving on our southern border. The American Christian response to refugees in the identical situation of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph is beyond tragic. When viewed in light of Matthew 25, it is even worse. I am at a loss for words. An apocalyptic misstep comes to mind. Let me repeat Pastor Steve's lament.
The tribe does not want to suffer or sacrifice, but the tribe causes the suffering of thousands as they flee their countries, and we send them back to dangerous places.
The parable of the sheep and the goats at the conclusion of Matthew chapter 25 is one of the few places, perhaps the only place in Scripture, where Jesus says exactly what you can do to receive eternal damnation, exactly what you must do to end up in hell. Jesus says,
"Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me."
I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. You are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Chilling scripture for border wall enthusiasts.
My tribe of white evangelicals does not want to suffer or sacrifice, but the tribe causes the suffering of thousands as they flee their countries and we send them back to dangerous places.
Many Christians seem unwilling to sacrifice for those suffering on our borders. This reminds me of the true sin of Sodom, the reason the city was actually destroyed. The prophet Ezekiel explains Sodom's fate.
Sodom's sins were pride, gluttony, and laziness, while the poor and needy suffered outside her door. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49.
If you were taught that God destroyed Sodom because of male homosexuality, you were taught a false gospel. The Bible does not say that anywhere. I discuss the story of Sodom and Gomorrah in episode 1 of this series. Let's listen to the prophet Ezekiel again as he describes why Sodom was destroyed.
Sodom's sins were pride, gluttony, and laziness, while the poor and needy suffered outside her door.
And we all know what God's penalty was for Sodom letting the poor and the needy suffer outside its walls. America, are you listening? The Statue of Liberty welcomes the downtrodden with these words.
"Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free."
Let's listen to that again.
"Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free."
This has never been completely true. Many Americans did not want the Italians when they came. Many Americans despised the Irish when they came. The Chinese were not allowed to bring their wives or become citizens. But each of these groups has blessed America and made it both culturally and economically richer. America has been blessed by immigrants and refugees from Vietnam, Mexico, Iran, India, the Philippines. The list goes on and on and on. Wave after wave of poor, oppressed, or uneducated have made America a wealthy nation. Time and time again, America has been uniquely blessed when it has obeyed this biblical mandate. Unique among nations, America welcomed the poor, the oppressed, and the uneducated. Not always. And when we have failed to follow the words on the Statue of Liberty, history and our own consciences have judged us harshly.
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses.
Welcoming those fleeing violence and oppression may not actually be much of a sacrifice for America. Today, we have millions and millions of entry jobs going begging with no one to take them. We have a retirement system desperately in need of young workers. And we have thousands of small towns in America with abandoned buildings, empty schools, and few young people. We could accommodate many more refugees than we are taking today. How great a sacrifice would this be with help wanted signs posted everywhere and people on the border dying to take those jobs. If history is any guide, we would be a richer and more secure country if we welcomed more refugees and immigrants. What would Jesus do? Build a wall and send these children back into poverty and violence? Of course not. I'm with Pastor Steve. We should be embracing them, hugging the children, and giving jobs to their parents. We could start with a baby step, opening our doors to people with sponsors, relatives, churches, employers, or small towns, anyone wishing to welcome them, house them, educate their children, and offer the adults jobs. Just open the door to those who already have a place to stay and a job waiting for them. Could we guarantee that no Americans would be hurt? Of course not. Could we guarantee that America would be blessed by God? If you believe Scripture, the answer is a resounding yes.
Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me.
From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, prepared for you in heaven. Until next time, this is Elton Sherwin, wishing you a safe and blessed holiday.